We live in a world of turmoil. The psalm that I read just a few moments ago from David was written in the time frame of his dealings with Abimelech, and when he had changed what his reaction was to Abimelech. One of the things we see in this psalm is something that the Apostle Peter references later on in one of his epistles, and that is verse 13 and 14. Actually, 12, 13, and 14 is in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, and we'll read those in just a moment, but where he talks about keeping our tongue from evil and our lips from speaking deceit. And the psalmist says, turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. We talked a few months ago about the fruits of the Spirit. One of those fruits of the Spirit that we find listed is peace. In fact, we have love, joy, peace as the first three listed there in the book of Galatians. We want to talk this morning about peace because peace should be one of our strongest desires. Certainly, we have a desire to go to heaven. We have a desire to please God, but we should have a desire for peace, and I'm convinced all of us do. Every time things start going the wrong direction, we wish we could find a place of peace, a place of serenity, a place of calmness. Sometimes we're able to do that, sometimes not. When we talk about peace, what we're talking about is harmony and concord amongst our relationships. Tranquility, security and safety, things going well without turmoil. And of course, when we talk about peace in regards to spiritual things, we're talking about the peace of God. The tranquil state of our soul that is assured of its salvation through Christ, and therefore we fear nothing from God, and we are content with our earthly lot, no matter what sort that is a paraphrase of Thayer's thoughts on that. It is a state of tranquility, of things calm and easy. We seek that. We seek that in our individual lives. We seek that in our relationships. But most of all, the peace that we ought to be seeking is peace with God. As we said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And when we look at all of those things that are talked about there, we can see how interrelated they are as we consider how they affect us as individuals. As I mentioned, Peter, in his first epistle, chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, references this statement from David in Psalm 34 when he says, whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. It ought to be something that we are going after. Finding peace is not something that's just going to happen one day. We're not going to wake up one morning and all of a sudden everything in our life is peaceful and calm. It doesn't happen when all the kids move out of the house and it's just you and your wife. There are other things that pop up besides kids' drama that disturb your peace. It doesn't happen when you finish your life of work and you retire from whatever your career or your job may have been and you think, okay, now I don't have a job to worry about. I don't have this to deal with. It doesn't just happen. We have to work at achieving peace and we have to keep seeking after. That's why Peter says, seek peace and pursue it. Jesus came to give us peace. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, beginning, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. And we understand, in this context, Paul is talking about that dividing wall between Jew and Gentile. Christ came to destroy that and make one body. But the principle and teaching here applies even to us today. Jesus came to provide a way that we can be at peace with God. That we can be at peace with our fellow man. We can be at peace with our brothers and sisters in Christ above all. In fact, peace amongst Christians ought to be something that is a given. But many times it's not. And that's why Paul had to remind the Ephesian brethren about the tearing down of those boundaries that separated and all being one in Christ. As we read later on in that book, as we studied in our Wednesday evening class, one Spirit, one God, one faith, one hope. All of those ones he talks about in chapter 4. And then all the things he talks about following that that emphasize how we are to work together to help one another grow until we become matured like Christ. Those things will lead to peace because Jesus came to bring peace. I know, there's passages where Jesus said, I came not to bring peace, I came to bring a sword. I came to make a man at variance against his father and a daughter against her mother. Well, Jesus is talking about, I came to change things. And some people are not going to accept that. But anyone who accepts Christ and is willing to live in accordance with his will can find peace. We can be at peace with one another. The gospel is the good news of peace. A few passages where we see that. Acts chapter 10 and verse 36. Preaching the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 6 and verse 15, in that armor that we're to put on, that God has given to us, as shoes for our feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And as the psalmist tells us in Psalm 119, great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. You know, in some ways, there's a number of different types of peace that are talked about in those quotes. That last one, I think, can be used mainly to reference the fact that we can be at peace in ourselves, peace in our souls. If we put our hopes in the law of God, we can find tranquility and peace because we don't have the turmoil of wondering why I'm here and what's going on and where am I headed and what's going to happen next. We can have peace through the laws of God. The gospel, the good news of Jesus, was brought for the purpose of bringing peace to mankind. I know there's been many a times that people say something about, I wish we could have peace in the world. And I say, at least to myself, I know how we can. If everybody just believed Jesus and obeyed his will, we could have peace. We could have world peace. If everyone would accept the gospel, the good news of Jesus, and be obedient to it. When we look at the church as we have brethren across the nation, across the world, as long as we are all focused on doing what Jesus says, following his will, we are at peace with one another. It's when somebody decides, I want to do something different, that we start having discord and problems. Because the gospel is a gospel of peace, both inner peace and tranquility and peace among men. And peace is our desire. We hope for peace. We seek after peace. Of course, we need to recognize that the kind of peace that we're really considering this morning is the inner peace that we have. The peace that is a fruit of the Spirit. Well, when you think of a fruit of a tree, the fruit is something that comes from that tree, right? It's not something that's produced outside that tree. If you've got an apple tree and you get an apple, it's something that that tree produced. So when we think of the fruits of the Spirit, let's understand that what we're talking about is something that the Spirit produces in us. And when we're talking about that kind of peace, I think we're talking about that inner peace that we have. That's going to lead to us being able to have peace with other men. Don't get me wrong. But we're talking about that inner tranquility, that peace in heart and mind that lets us go to bed at night without worry. Lets us sleep without concern about whether we will wake up in the morning or what may happen to us during the day. Because we have peace. We're not talking about world peace. We're not talking about peace in our homes so much. It will lead to peace in our homes, or can lead to it. We're talking about peace with God in our heart. That's the peace that really matters. If we can't get that peace, if we can't have a peace that results from our reconciliation with God, we're going to have trouble finding peace in anything else. The gospel is a message of peace because it promotes the reconciliation of man with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel of peace is all about. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him, Christ that is, to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. Through the blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary, we can be reconciled to God. We can be brought back into a right relationship with God, and thereby we can find inner peace, a tranquility. Since we've been justified by faith, Paul told the Romans, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, to the Romans, he said, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. There we see two of those fruits of the Spirit that are a result of giving ourselves to the gospel of Christ. Because our peace is rooted in God. If we want inner peace, it comes from being rooted in God. Being right with God gives us that peace in our hearts. We're just starting the study of the Philippian letter. It'll be in chapter 2 Wednesday night, I think it is. But over in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5 and through 7, Paul says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Every time I read this passage, of course, I think back to Matthew chapter 6, where he talks about being anxious about the daily cares and concerns, about what I'm going to eat and what I'm going to wear and where I'm going to sleep and all of those sort of things. And the scripture reminds us there, as it records Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, that we should not be concerned about those things because God will take care of them. If we have that relationship with God that we ought to have because we have given our lives over to Him, we can avoid those anxieties. We can live life without overly concern, being overly concerned, about those daily struggles and difficulties. And it will help with any sort of thing that might give us worries and anxieties. Bad health. Hard to get around. Is it going to get any better? Or is it going to get worse? How am I going to deal with it if it gets worse? What am I going to do if I can't get this taken care of? What if they don't pull through? We can let those things pull us down. But through our relationship with God and our willingness to let Him be in control, can live life without overly concentrating on those things. They're not going to leave our mind. We're not going to quit thinking about it. But we're not going to get consumed by it. That's what Paul is telling the Philippian brethren here. He says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The way you conduct your life, let it show that you're not anxious about these things. You don't have these worries getting in your way of doing what needs to be done. Because you've gone to God in prayer, and you know that God will take care of in the best way, whether you know that way or not. Now, I'm not up here trying to tell you that if you pray to God, everything's going to go your way. I can guarantee you that's not going to happen. But you can pray to God, and you put your trust in Him, your hope in Him, and you guide your life by His principles, and you can know that what is best for His will is going to take place. And if we are in a right relationship with God, is not that what we're concerned with? What is best for His will? Isn't that the example that Jesus left us in the Garden of Gethsemane? Not my will, but thine be done. So maybe you don't go to the college you thought you would get to go to. Maybe you end up in community college. Maybe you don't get to go. Maybe you get a better college. Maybe you don't get the promotion. Maybe your health never really gets any better. With God, we can handle those things. If we truly trust in Him. We can have peace. And it will manifest itself in our actions. I think that's what Paul means by be known to everyone. It will show. We won't have as much conflict and stress. Anxiety will fade away. We will learn that winning is not always the best thing in a discussion. Okay, argument, fight. That's what I mean. I've seen a couple of preachers post something along the lines of, I'm at the point in my life where I've decided that I don't have to enter into this. If you want to try to tell me and say that 1 + 1 = 5, one of them said, I'll let you believe that if that's what you want. It's not going to make much difference either way. Not for me. Or I've got to the point in my life where I've learned that sometimes the best thing to do is walk away. When I read that one, I kept thinking back to when I was a young fellow. It's been a lot of years, but I was a young fellow one time. And Dad was giving me advice about how to deal with folks that were picking on me or folks that were wanting to start fights or whatever. And he said, it takes more courage. Well, he may not have used these exact words, but basically he said it takes more courage to walk away than it does to fight. He said, sometimes you just need to walk away. But when the punch is not worth it in the long run. We can do those sort of things when we are at peace because we have a right relationship with God. Because we lay our burdens and cares on Him. And it will show. It will be evident in how we interact with folks on the job and at school and with our siblings and with our parents. And it'll certainly be evident with how we interact with our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the kind of thing that Jesus was talking about when He told His disciples that people would know that they were His disciples because they love one another. They're at peace. Because they're one with God. We've grown up in a society that tells us that what we've got to do is win. No matter what it costs, I've got to win. No matter what the discussion, I've got to win. My point is right. And if I find out I'm wrong, it's shame. And the gospel of peace tells us that winning isn't everything. You know, we even see images of winning the race and talking about finishing life as servants of God, being able to enter into heaven. But it's not really the idea of winning, it's the idea of finishing faithful to God. Because our idea of winning is one person wins, right? Well, God's desire is that everybody wins. It's not the winning. It's the remaining faithful to God all the way through life. It's completing the race as a child of God. We need to learn to let the peace of Christ, as Paul told the Colossian brethren, rule in our hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. To the Corinthian brethren, he said, finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Do you see how God is at the center of all of this? If we want peace, it only comes through God. And if we don't have peace in ourselves with God, we're never going to find peace with our fellow man. Passage that I have been reminding myself of over and over the last several years is in Romans chapter 12. Similar idea to what we just read. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. I'm not better than anybody else. Maybe I do drive a newer car, but that doesn't make me better than my neighbor. Can't be wise in my own sight. Wisdom comes from God. And God gives to all freely who ask for wisdom. My wisdom is no better than anybody else's. Because my wisdom is of man. What I need to be concentrating is God's wisdom. Rather than evil for evil, stop and think about what is honorable. And there are very, very few instances where taking a swing is going to be seen as honorable. There are some situations where that may be. But for most of us, probably the more honorable thing may be to turn and walk away. Leave it be. Especially if we're seeking for peace with God and peace in our hearts. Romans 14, again, references Psalm 34. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Tearing somebody else down is not going to build them up. I know that sounds like that will be obvious, but sometimes our actions speak otherwise. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. And I'm convinced that verse tells us that we won't see the Lord without peace, as well as we won't see the Lord without holiness. Paul's statement to the Ephesian brethren again, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Notice the things that Paul says there that will help us to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace are things that lower our standing in our own eyes. Humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love. It's dependent upon us thinking of others better than ourselves. Or for some of us, at least getting others up to the same level we are. So we can work on getting them a little higher, realizing that we are servants of all. And there we have that image of Jesus washing the apostles' feet at the Last Supper as a reminder that we're servants just like our Master is. We can only find this peace when we maintain a proper relationship with God. Paul told the Roman brethren to set the mind on flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. This peace is not going to come through human wisdom. We're not going to get it by meditating seven hours a day or 10 minutes a day. We're not going to get it by climbing up on the mountain and just sitting there and thinking through things. We may find some form of physical peace by getting off away from everybody and just forgetting about everything for a while. But we're not going to find real inner peace outside of a relationship with God. It's not in psychology, sociology, philosophy. It's only through God. It's found in His Word. A relationship with God can give us real and lasting peace. And the Word of God tells us how to gain and maintain such peace. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Later in that same chapter 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. That's the kind of peace we're looking for. Untroubled heart. Unfearful of what may happen to me. If we can find this kind of peace through our relationship with God, we won't care if we die. We won't be afraid of dying. Because we will be at peace. Because we will know what happens. Death will not be an end to us. It will be a beginning. Or moving to a new portion of our life. Oh, we will have concern probably about those that are left behind to some degree. But if we have true peace with God and we have a good relationship with them and they have peace with God, it won't affect them like it would if everything was focused on the world. Jesus can give us peace through the truth of His gospel. And when we fulfill our responsibilities to Him, our hopes can be fulfilled. If not, if we reject the gospel, if we turn away from serving God, if we just say, I believe Jesus, but we don't do what He says. If we just establish an initial relationship with God, but then we go on about our life doing whatever it is that we think is most important, we're going to be overwhelmed with fear. We're going to lose our peace. No matter how we try to soothe our conscience. I've said these things to you, that in me, you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. When our hopes and dreams are in the world, we're going to be troubled. But if we can get our minds centered on Christ and our hopes and dreams in God, we can have peace. The things of this world won't trouble us. They won't keep us from peace. Peace and rest is found in Christ. Even in the midst of a world of trial and trouble, even in the midst of pain and suffering, of loss, we can find peace in Christ. And it's a peace that only comes through being reconciled to God. So here's the question we ask ourselves. Do I have that peace? If I don't have that peace, I'm not going to find peace elsewhere. I need to have inner peace myself, peace in my relationship with God. So I need to get my perspective focused on that. I need to remember what Paul told the Romans in Romans 14. None of us live to himself and none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord. Is that your perspective? That's the perspective we saw in the Apostle Paul. Here, we saw it in the Philippian letter. We've seen it in other letters. We see it in his epistles to Timothy. If I'm right with God, the things of this life, the temporal things, peace with work and peace with my family and all those sort of things, will not give us any lasting trouble. If you want peace, if you're thinking, well, okay, preacher, you've been telling me I need to have this peace and I only have it through a relationship with God, let me tell you a couple other things. Develop a habit of prayer, study, and meditation on the Word. That's going to give you the peace you're looking for. If you're not finding peace, there's something wrong with your relationship with God. And I can guarantee you, it's on your side, not His. Lack of prayer, lack of study. So, maybe, as you start thinking about the new year coming up, looking back over what you've done this past year, considering how things have went, maybe it's time to think about adding a little extra time for God. Whether that's some extra Bible reading, because you're all already doing Bible reading, right, every day. Or just a little time during the day somewhere that I just think about God's Word and my relationship with Him. Or an extra few minutes somewhere in the day, beginning, end, or middle, where I just talk to God a little more diligently, with a little more focus. And see if that doesn't help you with that peace. John tells us that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a very comforting passage for those of us who are members of the body of Christ. Because it tells us that if we are struggling with sin, if we're beset by that, it's going to cause us problems. It's going to take away our peace. But if we're willing to turn away from that and give it to God and say, God, I did this, God, please forgive me. Help me not do that anymore. We can be at peace with that. Because those who are children of God have committed themselves to the Lord through obedient baptism. Not cleansing the flesh, but cleansing our conscience. Appealing to God to clean our conscience because we are obedient to the will of God, and through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have been saved from our sins because we were willing to be buried in baptism in order to receive remission of those sins. Those things have put us in a relationship with God where we can have peace. When we acknowledge and understand that Jesus is in control of this world today, He's been given that authority by God, and the only way we're going to find peace is if we put all our hopes, our dreams, and our trust in Him. And we lean on Him for everything. Then we can have peace within ourselves because we are at peace with God. We've been cleansed and made free of the stain of sin. If that's not the case with you, we urge you to correct those things this morning. Set them right with the Lord. Be obedient to the will of God if necessary. Be buried in baptism to have your sins washed away. Pray to God. Seek forgiveness of sins, things that are disturbing your relationship with God. And when we have peace in ourselves, then we can work at finding peace with others, which is a part of what we're instructed to do. You find this morning that you're in turmoil, you're troubled. Find peace by coming back to the Lord. If we can assist, opportunity is yours. Come while we stand and sing for your encouragement.